Chapter 14. "So, do you know where he is?" I asked as I looked around the forest. I couldn't really pinpoint where his call came from. The sun was now setting, and the world around us was getting darker. Even though my werepanther night vision allowed me to see in the black of night, I had no idea where Orglan's mating call even came from, let alone how we would be able to pinpoint its location and then get there.
"I'll have to do another mating call. The closer we get, the louder his response will be."
"But did you at least get some sort of direction from him?"
Janine asked with a frown.
"Because there are way too many bodies of water around here for us to just start randomly plodding around the city."
"It came from the northwest,"
Leah explained as she sloshed up out of the water and onto the shore. Her short blonde hair was slicked down against her face, and she had to brush her golden bangs away from her eyes as she looked over at me with her baby blues. Of course, my eyes couldn't help but drift down to her soaking wet body. Her bra and panties were dark from the water, and they clung to every single curve of her lithe body like a second skin. Her nipples were erect through the fabric, and the vertical cleft of her pussy was clearly visible. Leah walked over to her clothes, tossed them on quickly, and then let out a shiver.
"It's not that cold, is it?"
"I'm kinda sensitive. My internal body temperature changes along with the environment."
"How the hell have you survived a Cincinnati winter, then?" I asked with a chuckle.
"Sweatshirts,"
Leah retorted without missing a beat.
"Lots of sweaters and heavy coats. As long as my actual flesh stays warm, I won't go into hibernation."
"That actually reminds me of a question I wanted to ask."
Janine trailed off.
"I know you're not human, but does that mean your anatomy is completely different inside? Like, Fae and Werepanther anatomy are basically the same as regular human, minus a few very specialized components."
"Well..."
Leah said as she shrugged.
"When I broke my leg in high school, the doctor told me I had the best leg muscles he'd ever seen. Plus, there's the retractable prehensile tongue and the sticky pads on my hands and feet, but those aren't really noticeable."
"Really?"
Janine asked with a raised eyebrow.
"Your dentist never noticed the giant prehensile tongue that's inside your mouth?"
"No."
The blonde polyworm shook her head with a smirk.
"When it's retracted, it just looks like a regular old tongue, and I always take good care of my teeth. Surely somebody would have noticed if they'd taken an x-ray of my skull, but I've never needed one. Knock on wood, of course. Other than that, actually, I think that our reproductive organs are slightly different than humans, given that the females of our species have about 20 children at a time."
"Yeah, you mentioned that after we killed the cultists. Are you sure it was a good idea to have let me, you know, inside of..."
"I have an IUD. I'm sure it'll be fine."
"Not with a werepanther seed, it won't be."
Ada clicked her tongue.
"Carter's species may look like regular humans, but they have the strongest sperm in the known world. A human contraceptive is no match for its strength."
"Don't listen to her,"
Janine mumbled under her breath.
"She pulled this same thing with me when Carter and I were first intimate, where she tries to convince you that none of your birth control will work."
"It won't."
The succubus shook her head.
"Not against a werepanther seed. Though I suppose you'll just have to find out the hard way, I guess."
"No, I won't."
Leah rolled her eyes.
"I have all the faith in the world that my IUD will work. I stopped having periods a few months after I put it in. Anyways, as I was saying, I think that's technically it as far as physical differences go. None of you would have guessed I was a polyworm, so I must not look too crazy different."
"Succubus anatomy is pretty much exactly like a human's as well, minus the locking vagina."
Janine and Leah both looked over at Ada with confused stares, and the succubus simply smiled.
"Did I just hear that right? Because I thought you said locking vagina."
Ada nodded.
"Carter's experienced it a few times now. Carter, would you like to explain?"
Basically, a succubus has a vagina that's super tight. Like, putting a banana through a pinhole tight? It's how they trap their victims and hold them in place while they feed on their souls.
"And you gave me shit for eating those bodies."
"Luckily, now that Carter's around, I don't have to feed anymore,"
Ada said, as she bobbed up and down on her feet.
"I can suck out just enough of his yummy werepanther spirit to keep myself satisfied, and his healing factor just makes him all better. Plus, I can only feed when he's a foot up inside of me, which is fucking amazing."
"I'm kind of sorry I even asked."
Janine rolled her eyes and then pointed with her thumb.
Northwest, you said? That's what he said.
Leah confirmed with a nod.
"It actually sounded like he was somewhat close by. Like, within walking distance from where we are now. If we start heading in that direction, I can do my mating call again and again until we get right up on that bastard."
Does that mean I get to put on another show for you, love?
Nope.
Leah shook her head, and then she bit her lip and looked me up and down.
That last show you put on should last me for days.
Ooh, wow.
Ada said with a whistle, and she slapped my shoulder playfully.
I just met her a day or two ago, and we're already permanent members of her spank bank. That's impressive.
Uh-huh. I pulled away from the succubus. Do you need me to lead the way? I know there's a full moon out tonight, but I'm pretty sure I'm the only one of us with night vision.
I can use the light from my magic to light the way. I don't need to see. Polywarms can navigate almost any terrain purely based on vibrations in the ground.
So, I'm the only one who doesn't have a special glow-in-the-dark ability?
Ada said with a frown.
Oh well, I've got plenty of other talents.
You can walk in the middle of the group, I said to the succubus as I stepped just behind Leah. Lead the way, Miss Polywarm. The four of us headed deeper into the woods, in the direction Leah had originally heard Orglan's mating call come from. As we walked, I heard the soft sound of snapping twigs and ruffling foliage beneath my feet, along with the noise of shrieking cicadas and the creaking of wood as the tall elms around us swayed with the wind. Part of me, the part that had quickly learned to grow suspicious after I'd been nearly killed one too many times, wondered if there was a possibility Orglan could set a trap for us. But then I reminded myself he didn't know Leah was working with us, since she hadn't been present when the muck dwellers attacked the lounge. Orglan would be a sitting duck, and I would take full advantage of it. Or so I hoped. After about half an hour of walking, Leah stopped in her tracks.
I'm starting to lose my bearings. I think I need to do another mating call.
There's no water around here, though.
I think we're close enough now it's not needed,
Leah said as she cleared her throat.
I just want to make sure we're headed in the right direction.
Leah cleared her throat a few more times before finally she took a deep breath. However, when she tried to unleash another croak, all that came out was a raspy, throaty sputter.
What's wrong?
Janine asked the polywarm.
Do we need to toss some water on you or something? We've been doing a lot of walking through the forest, so, I'm not in the right condition to do it again.
Well, that will not stand, love.
Ada declared as she licked her lips.
Carter, undo your fly.
Hold on!
Janine shook her head.
Leia's already out of the water, right? We're already at a disadvantage, so doing the exact same thing you just did probably isn't good enough. That visual is still ingrained in my memory. It's just that I'm not in the mood right now.
I can fix that. I walked over to Leah, threw my left arm around her waist, and pulled her back up against my chest. The second she was in my grasp, I began to softly kiss her neck as I ran my hands along her sides. Leah let out a gasp in response, though that quickly turned into a weak moan as her fingers reached back over her head to dig into my hair.
Don't just stand there,
I heard Janine hiss to Ada.
He probably needs your help.
My help? Love, I think you just want to watch me with another girl, don't you?
No! I just thought that we needed all hands on deck, literally.
You have two hands. Why don't you do it yourself?
Well, because you're way better at that sort of thing than I am. I'm still learning.
Mm. You are always good with the compliments.
Soon, Ada's curvy, leather-clad body was rubbing up beside us. And Leah let out a gasp when she felt the other woman.
What are you doing?
She gulped, and I could hear her heart as it began to race in her chest cavity.
Carter's already...
Before Leah could even finish her sentence, Ada pressed her lips up against the blonde woman's. Leah offered no resistance whatsoever, and seconds later, I could hear the two women's tongues as they intertwined in each other's mouths. The scent of Leah's arousal grew stronger in my nostrils as I nibbled on her neck. And I knew that we were well on our way to making her horny enough to do a mating call. Still, it never hurt to speed up the process. I pulled away from Leah's neck and watched as she and the succubus made out. Ada's hands were up inside of Leah's shirt, and they made circular motions as Ada played with the polywarm's nipples. Let's see how you're doing, I purred in the blonde's ear as I let my hand slip down into Leah's pants.
Fuck!
Leah moaned as she broke off from kissing Ada.
That's a good girl,
the succubus muttered as she moved down to kiss the other woman's throat.
Let Carter check how hot your oil is.
Leah's pussy was already wet and trembling, and it seemed to tense up at my touch. I slid my pointer finger into Leah's tight tunnel, which caused her to let out a long, deep moan of satisfaction. She's good, I said, as I began to finger the beautiful woman while Ada continued to play with her breasts.
Oh, I'm so good,
Leah moaned, as the three of us swayed together.
Janine,
Ada whispered, as she beckoned to the redhead.
Come over and have a bit of fun with us, love.
See, it seems like you all have it handled.
Janine cleared her throat as she watched us, but I could practically hear her heart slamming against her chest, and her face was 10 shades of red.
She hasn't croaked yet, love,
Ada said, as she wiggled her finger more urgently at my shy lover.
Come give her a gentle kiss and let's see what happens.
Janine took a cautious step forward as she frantically looked at the three of us.
I'm not really...
Oh, it's fine, love,
Ada said, as she ran her tongue down Leah's slender neck.
It's just a wee kiss on a beautiful woman's lips so we can kill the bad guy. She needs you to, don't you, Leah?
Fuck!
The blonde moaned as she rotated her hips against my hand so that my fingers could fuck her deeper.
Someone needs to kiss me right now! Oh, holy shit! Oh, Carter! Oh, feels so good! Okay,
Janine whispered, and then she took 2 more steps so that she was standing in front of the blonde woman. Then the two girls leaned into each other and their lips gently touched.
Yes.
Both Ada and I moaned at once, and then the four of us groaned as they began to kiss each other more passionately. Ada went back to work kissing one side of Leah's neck while she rubbed her breasts, and I continued to finger the blonde's velvety channel while I nibbled on the other side of her neck. Leah was getting attention on all sides now from the three of us, and her tunnel began to urgently spasm around me as we all moaned and gently rubbed our bodies against her. She's about to come, I told everyone, as our plaything began to twitch in our embrace, and my words caused Ada and Janine to kiss and lick her frantically.
Oh, yes!
The beautiful blonde bombshell pulled away from Janine's lips with eyes wider than dinner plates, and I pushed my finger as deep as I could into her clenching tunnel.
Come for us, love.
Leah tilted back her head and bellowed into the air. Her croaking call rang out through the forest in time with her climax around my finger. And the shout was so powerful that several of the tree branches above her started to rustle. She held her call for a few seconds before her mouth snapped shut, and she cleared her throat again as her body slumped back into my arms.
Ah, there we go!
Janine giggled as she clapped her hands together.
I knew that would work.
Well, you had to give us a bit of help, didn't you?
Yeah.
Janine blushed as she cleared her throat.
A shame it had to end so prematurely and without the rest of us getting our jollies.
Ada winked.
We will have to finish this later, loves.
Mere seconds later, Orglan's mighty call rang out through the woods. It sounded way louder than the first time, and now it seemed to come from the right of our position.
What did he say that time?
Janine asked Leah, but the blonde woman just rolled her eyes.
Nothing I want to repeat.
Leah gagged.
Ugh, he's pretty much doing the amphibian version of dirty talk. He sucks at it, by the way.
Not surprising. With the exception of Carter here, most of the paranormal men I've met over the years have about as many romantic tendencies as they do inches to their cock. Practically zero.
All four of us laughed at the joke, but then Leah spoke up.
We're almost there now. He's telling me I need to hurry up and get there because, and I quote, he's got a hankering for polywarm meat and he can't wait to get a taste. I can see why you didn't want to share earlier. He's about 2 miles to the east at this point. If we hurry, we can still make it there and finish him off before sunrise.
We headed off to the east, though we only made it about 10 minutes before my enhanced hearing picked up the sound of footsteps in the darkness. We weren't alone. There's somebody else out here, I hissed as I held out both my arms and stopped my friends in their tracks.
How many? Are you sure it's not just a lost animal?
I narrowed my eyes as I tried to concentrate on the sounds in the distance, and I heard the distinct noise of small, plodding footfalls as they cracked over branches and sloshed through the mud. Whoever our mystery creatures were, they were bipedal for sure. And as I listened closer, I recognized there were about 20 footfalls hitting the ground at any given moment. So the question now was if there were 10 bipedal creatures, or if it was 5 quadrupeds. Fuck, for all I knew, it could be a giant paranormal creature that had 20 legs. I don't know, I said with a frown. But the footsteps are getting closer. We need to get out of sight, like, now. Without another word, Ada's wings popped out of her back, and she zipped up into the foliage of a nearby tree. Leah crouched down on her muscular legs, and then forced herself upward, where she stuck to the trunk of the tree like her hands were covered with superglue. The polywarm woman climbed with a slow, awkward gait that reminded me of a sloth. But within seconds, she was out of sight.
Gee,
Janine said with a huff.
I wish I had those sorts of abilities.
Hop on my back, I said as I crouched down. The Hatfield Express is about to launch. Janine's slender arms wrapped around my neck, and then she lifted her bottom half up and threw her legs around my waist. I felt the beautiful redhead's rapid heartbeat as she pressed up against my back, as well as her shallow, panicked breaths, and I saw her hands begin to glow yellow as they interlocked below my chin.
For luck. The last thing we need right now is for you to miss the branch or something.
The sounds of the footsteps were now just a few dozen feet away, which meant I had no time to waste. So I instantly shoved my shoes into the ground and launched myself up into the air. As the night breeze whipped past my face, I grabbed onto the lowest branch I could find, thrust my bottom half forward, and used my momentum to spin around it like a gymnast. Once my feet were straight up in the air, I let go of the branch and flipped upward in a somersault. My body landed with a soft thud against one of the higher up branches, so I quickly wrapped my hands around its sides and then pressed myself down as flat as I could possibly go. Seconds later, the footsteps were upon us, and my blood boiled when I saw what we were dealing with. 10 men, all in crimson-red robes. The Order of the Lunar God. What the fuck were they doing out here?
There's only 10 of them. Do you want to drop down and take them out?
There's no way there's only 10 of them, I whispered as softly as I could. And if that's the case, I don't want to raise the alarm. The last thing we need right now is Orglan getting alerted to our presence and then running away like the slimy coward he is.
So we go stealthy, then. Pick them off one by one.
Maybe, I said in a low voice. But it's going to be kind of hard to pick them off while they outnumber us 10-3.
You forget who you have on your team, Carter,
Janine said with a slight giggle.
If we're smart about this, we can eliminate all of those assholes without them even noticing.
I'll go first,
Ada hissed as she hovered up into the air.
Keep those marvelous hands of yours focused on me, love.
Janine extended her glowing left hand to Ada, and then the succubus began to float gracefully toward the OLG members on the ground. I held my breath as Ada silently swooped down so she was right behind the group of men, though she was very careful not to touch the ground at all. Then, in a single motion, Ada tossed her right hand around the cultist's mouth, stabbed her claws into his back, and took to the sky. The succubus flew up nearly 20 feet before she landed on a nearby tree branch and sunk her teeth into the cultist's neck. The fucker tried to scream, but Ada just pressed her hand tighter up against his mouth and kept it completely muffled. Within seconds, the cultist's body went limp, and Ada leaned his corpse over against the tree trunk.
Let me try,
Leah offered. The polywarm woman sprang off the branch she was on and then landed on a nearby tree with only the slightest of sounds. She wasted no time in jumping away to another branch, and soon she was positioned just behind the group of cultists. She instantly launched her tongue down onto the OLG member at the back of the crew, and it wrapped itself around his neck like a noose. Then, before he even had a chance to scream, Leah jerked her head backward and retracted her tongue violently. I heard a soft snap as the cultist's head was twisted at an awkward angle, and then Leah pulled his corpse right up into her waiting maw. I couldn't help but shudder as the blonde unhinged her bottom jaw like a snake, tilted her head back, and swallowed the cultist whole. But Leah and Ada were several trees away from us now, and I didn't want to lose them in the chaos that was about to unfold. Hold tight, I whispered to Janine. We're gonna flank these fuckers. I felt the redhead's grip tighten around my shoulders, so I stood up from my prone position and then took off as gently as I could toward the nearest tree on my left. My heart started to pound in my chest uncontrollably as I watched the end of the branch approach, and then it completely stopped when I sprang off and out into the night. Thankfully, I'd timed my jump right, and I landed on the next closest tree without much issue. I continued with my momentum as I ran, jumped over into another tree, and then stopped as I looked over at Ada and Leah. The two women were on the other side of the group of cultists, about 50 feet away, as they silently hung there in the trees.
Hold on,
one of the men down below said as he stopped.
Where's Stuart and Marty?
I don't know,
another cultist huffed.
Probably jerking each other off or something. Who gives a shit?
I give a shit,
the man argued as he pulled down his hood to reveal a brown buzz cut.
What if that bastard Abath and his harem of sluts got to him already?
Get real, Bradley, another cultist said as he rolled his eyes. If those bastards had got to him, don't you think we'd have heard it? They probably just went off to take a piss and wanted to use the buddy system or some shit.
I don't know, man, the arguing cultist said. I'm starting to get the heebie-jeebies.
Then maybe you aren't worthy of the glory of Khonzu. Yet another cultist hissed. The OLG fears nothing and no one.
That's a load of shit, and you...
The difficult cultist began, but he was quickly silenced. The cultist he was arguing with grabbed the hilt of his dagger, drew it in a flash, and slashed it across the poor guy's throat. The man with the buzz cut's eyes went wide as blood sprayed out of his jugular and splashed onto the ground. Then he fell forward as he gasped for air, but it was no use. He was moments away from death. Which meant we had a perfect distraction.
Wait here,
I whispered as I set Janine down onto the branch. I gave Ada and Leah a signal with my hands, and then the three of us sprang into action. I let myself fall down a few branches and gently lowered myself to the ground. At the same time, Leah and Ada carefully got themselves down to the same level, and once all three of us were in position, we struck. All of the OLG members were currently watching their brothers' gurgled final breaths, so their backs were to us. Ada, Leah, and I dashed forward and attacked. I grabbed onto the nearest cultist with one hand on the side of his head and the other on his bottom jaw. The second I grabbed him, I twisted his neck as hard as I could to the left, and there was a wet pop as he went limp. Then I tossed him over my shoulder as I leapt backward with all my might and landed behind a nearby tree. At the same time, Leah moved in right behind another cultist. She slapped her hand over his mouth to muffle any noise, and then she flicked out her tongue and wrapped it like a boa constrictor around the fucker's neck. She quickly sprang up into a nearby tree as he started to struggle, and all he could do was kick at the air as the life was squeezed out of his body. Ada, on the other hand, kept it simple. From my hiding spot behind the tree trunk, I saw the succubus reach up, grab onto a cultist's throat with her long, painted nails, and then tore his fucking voice box out of his neck. At the same time, she tossed her left arm around his neck and jumped up, and she took flight as his blood poured down onto the ground behind the cultists. All the while, the man with the buzz cut tried to point at Ada as he gurgled on his final breaths. Poor guy. Even though they'd just murdered him in cold blood, he still wanted to warn his friends about us. Too bad he was fading fast. The cultist's movements slowed to a crawl, and then his eyes rolled back as he went limp.
Death to all non-believers,
the murderer muttered as he wiped off his blade.
Now, wait, where the fuck did everybody go?
What the shit?
Another cultist gasped as he looked around.
Is that blood?
Now it was literally 4-on-4, and I liked those odds. Of course, there was still something I could do to make the score more even. I closed my eyes and tried to think of everything these fuckers stood for. They wanted to kill all of my friends and me, and they wanted to bring my entire fledgling empire down before it even had a chance to blossom. They were a threat to all mankind, and I couldn't let them live. Suddenly, the muscles in my legs and arms began to twitch, and then they started to elongate. I felt the lower half of my face stretch out into a long snout as my pectorals and arm muscles became swollen with power, and soon my body was covered with hair as my teeth grew longer and my hands became paws. Now I could cut through these fuckers like they were cardboard.
Now!
I called out, and then I dashed forward. Leah and Ada charged at the exact same time, and the OLG members' eyes grew wide with fear as they saw us approaching.
The bastard of best!
One of them gasped as he reached for his knife.
Somebody inform!
Before he could finish his sentence, Ada's claws slashed open his throat with a spray of crimson mist. The succubus proceeded to dig her thumbs into the fucker's eyes, and he let out a gurgle as she stabbed her fingernails through his goddamn brain. Another one of the cultists actually got his knife out of its sheath, but that was exactly what Leah wanted. The polywarm woman's tongue shot out of her mouth and wrapped around his wrist, and then she jerked her head to the right. As she did so, the cultist's dagger was yanked along with it, and it stabbed a second cultist square in the chest. His eyes went wide as he looked down at the dagger in his heart, but then he simply collapsed as his eyes rolled back in his head. The bastard I targeted drew his dagger and turned to face me. But he may as well have been holding a butter knife. I unsheathed my claws on my right hand as I lashed out at him, and my razor-sharp nails stabbed into his cheek with a fleshy schluck. The momentum of my blow continued, and I tore that fucker's entire bottom jaw off his head with a spray of gore and viscera. The OLG member tried to scream as his tongue flopped downward, but all he could do was sputter and sway as blood sprayed onto the ground. The final cultist started to scream, but I slammed my massive paw into his face. I hit the bastard so hard, his head bent back more than 90 degrees on his shoulders, and there was a wet crunch as the top thoracic vertebrae of his spine tore through his skin. The cultist instantly fell down onto his knees as his head dangled by a thin layer of flesh, and then he collapsed, dead.
That was fun,
Ada said, as she licked some of the blood off her lips.
I hope there are more of those guys around.
Trust me, Ada. There will always be more OLG fuckers for us to kill. How the fuck do they keep finding me anyway?
Probably a tracking spell of some kind.
The succubus shrugged. Great. Some kind of magic bullshit. I'd worry about that later.
Let's get Janine down out of the tree so we can keep moving. I don't want to keep Orglan waiting and have him get suspicious.
Ada gave me a nod, and then she swooped up and picked up the redhead in her arms. As she lowered Janine back to the ground, the archaeology student looked smug as could be.
You're welcome. For what? We did all the work. True,
Janine said with a shrug.
But notice how not a single one of them was able to sound the alarm? Do you think that would have been possible without my luck magic helping you out?
Hell no.
I shook my head.
Well, maybe. But either way, it was good to have a backup. Now, let's get moving.
With the OLG patrol dead, the four of us headed east once more. We walked on for several more minutes until I heard the sound of splashing water. But the forest suddenly ended and gave way to a massive, murky brown body of water. I quickly tried to backpedal, but then I caught sight of the massive rock that sat just 50 feet or so from the shoreline. A rock with a green-skinned figure perched on top of it. He stood about 7 feet tall, with legs and arms that were comically long compared to his oval-shaped torso. The creature had a giant spiky fin attached to each cheek, and another one ran perpendicular to those along the top of his head. The creature was covered in bright green scales, but they didn't look like anything I'd ever seen before. Instead of a bunch of small circular scales like a fish or a snake, this guy's body was covered in large, rigid rings that wrapped around his body like a suit of organic armor. He had discolored warts and brown bumps all over, as well as two tiny bright purple eyes. The creature's hands and feet were both webbed, and an alligator-like tail hung down off his ass. Then there was his face. This ugly motherfucker had no nose, but instead, two small ovular slits that rested just beneath his eyes. His face didn't protrude whatsoever, and his lipless mouth twisted into a razor-sharp smile when he saw us walk through the tree line. This had to be Orglan.
I didn't expect this to turn into an orgy, my dear. When you said you wanted a piece of this action, I figured you would come alone.
Well, the element of surprise was gone, but that didn't matter. I was a werepanther, and every paranormal creature would learn to fear me.
Orglan,
I growled as I approached the edge of the lake.
Do you know who I am? Of course I know who you are.
Orglan rolled his eyes.
You're the one who I'm after anyways. The feeling is mutual,
I said as I stood up onto my hind legs.
Now, are you going to come out of there and face us like a man, or am I going to have to come in and drag your sorry ass out onto dry land? Neither,
Orglan said as his eyes narrowed.
You're all going to die here, and then I'm going to take every single bit of power you idiots leave behind. I guess I'm coming in then.
I snarled as I went to take a step into the water. Then I stopped in my tracks. My ears were picking up two very distinct sounds, neither of which were good. I heard the sound of daggers being drawn from all around us in the forest, along with approaching footsteps. Underneath the surface of the water, I heard a strange, inhuman growling, and then the top of the lake began to bubble. Dozens of OLG cultists stepped out from the cover of the forest, with knives drawn and ready to fight. At the same time, nearly 20 muck dwellers popped to the surface of the lake and let out a cacophony of hisses.